Hello, back to the Women's Music Program, and a real treat for you today. In the studio, I have with me Rose Haney and Layla Octagon, and and I was practicing Layla's and Rose's last names.
You
before.
Did well.
Thank you. How are you both today? And we are doing an interview with two longtime women musicians in the Duluth area and elsewhere. And I am happy to welcome them to the Women's Music Program and KUMD. Hello, ladies.
Hi.
Hello. So happy to be here.
I've been a longtime fan, and I'm happy to be on this show in particular.
Well, wonderful. So let's see some background information on both of you, Rose and Layla. What brought you to music? What brought you both to music?
Go ahead, Layla.
Well, you know, I think genetics. I don't know. I think I've been musical since birth. My mom used to tell me stories. In particular about, I must have been two or three. We were at church. We were in the balcony, and I would get up and try to direct the choir every piece. And you know, they got to the point where, they would look up at me to start directing. You know, and another story about, I was a little older and walking down. We were on a train going somewhere, and I was singing for tips, and I must have been maybe five or six. So you know, it just has evolved since then. So
very cool. Rose, yourself, yeah.
Well, kind of similar. I think I put this in the bio I gave you. I literally started singing with the birds when I was little. One of the neighbors called my mom and said, "Do you realize it's 5 a.m. and your daughter's in the backyard, laying on the grass singing?" I was literally singing with the birds. So I think it was born into it. My mom was a ballerina, a real ballerina, and she came here to teach at UMD.
Okay.
Helped create one of the first dance studios
in
the area.
Wow.
And I grew up in a dance studio, so I had that, but I had all exposure to all kinds of music. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of my influences came from my mom, the ballerina.
I mean, growing up, both of you, just growing up with music, it was an early influence and everything. And Layla with the choir, Rose singing with the birds, your mother, using dance, using music as a form, to accompany dance and everything. And, and I like, Rose, how in your bio you said, "I was singing with the birds, not literally," but you did get to meet one of the birds later on.
In
Jean Clark. Yeah. Yes. So we'll get to that later. But, are some musical influences, both of you, just growing up and everything? I mean, other than starting out, but I mean, like bands you would listen to, who you wanted to emulate, or what you wanted to sound like.
Well, I'll go first on that, and I'll say you just played Joni Mitchell, my hero. personal heroes.
Yeah.
I loved Joni Mitchell, but I also was interested in, I should have been either a country singer or maybe an opera singer. Because I had that classical background, and I probably would have had a longer career, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
But I was always interested in just making sounds. Mm-hmm. I sang in a lot of original bands, and my mother actually was interested in world music. She's ahead of her time in a lot of ways, so I got exposure to a lot of different kinds of singing. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I really loved was my mom took us to powwows. So I would listen to that, and I mean, there's just so many things, along with growing up in the 60s and 70s, where I think I said in my bio here is like there were so many influences, it was hard to pick just one.
Yeah.
But if I had to pick my hero, it would be Joni Mitchell.
And for image-wise, writing and everything, Joni's a big hero. I mean, to a lot of people,
and
myself.
And the Beatles, and the Stones, so many. Yeah. Aretha, I don't know. I could go on and on.
Yeah.
And on.
Layla, how about yourself?
Growing up, and I was teased, the first band I was a member in, Jukebox. Uh-huh. I was teased because growing up, I really listened to the ballad singers, like Bread songs and Barry Manilow.
Yeah.
I was just a huge fan.
Yeah.
But really, as I evolved musically, Gloria Estefan was a huge influence.
Yeah.
Actually, I performed one of her songs in Jukebox, and unbeknownst to the band members, I just broke out in Spanish one night. And I remember the bass player, Cal, just went, But, you know, it, so many different artists. I mean, James Taylor, I love. There's so many I can't even think about who, but they all influence you in one way, shape, or form, I think.
Yeah, and we were talking earlier on the phone, and you were talking, Jukebox was a cover band.
Variety cover band.
And you and I were talking about you can be a cover band, or you can be a cover band.
That's right.
And do your own interpretation and make that song that you're covering your own in
your
a way.
Own. Yeah, yes, yeah, exactly. And that's so important. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it gets real monotonous.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We did do some originals as well.
Nice.
But mostly covers.
Yep. Cool. So what bands were you in around the Twin Ports, and when were you in them? Layla.
Okay. All right. The first band professionally that I was in was Jukebox. Mm-hmm. That was back in the late 80s. I was a member of that band for about 8.5 years and then went on to Sundog. And excuse my voice because I'm battling the crud here. But Sundog for a few years. And then some of the original members of Jukebox got back together and we called ourselves Jukebox Rewired.
Oh, yes. Okay.
That was fun for a short stint. And and then Showtime for about 4.5 years. We just disbanded. Our last gig was in August. And then Brad and I, the lead guitar player, formed a duo called Notable.
Okay.
And we are booking gigs. So if you anybody out there wants to book us, we would love to play for you.
So what kind of music does Notable play?
We do covers. I also write. So we are doing... right now, two of my originals.
Okay.
And we will do more as they, you know, become available.
Yeah. Cool. And I see you performed with, you know, jazz combos in the past as well, too.
Yep. Like,
very cool.
Yes.
Very
love jazz and blues.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. A lot of big music and everything. So, Rose, how about yourself? You've got quite a story, too.
Well, early on, and this is kind of fun to, it's like full circle being back here so many years later. It was probably 1970 or maybe 71. I don't know. I was on KUMD with my first ever like folk duo singing partner, Bill Iles, who a lot of people know around Duluth, and he and his wife Kate now travel all over doing house concerts and making a living doing music. Well, back then I started out singing like a lot of original music and then a few covers, but mostly I would have been in my life in original bands. So people would go sing something. I'm like, I don't have the whole band here to do that. But, you know, so a lot of my early influences and things I did here were original. And back then you could be in Duluth in an original band and actually make money. Well into the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And so 70s and 80s.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of cool. But Bill was my first. And then I, you know, people like some of these old time musicians around here, like Jim Hall, who everybody knows.
Yeah.
John Ward, Laurie Hatton, Doug Greenwood, a whole bunch of people from back in the day.
in
the 70s.
And
we've always had this healthy music scene here, or array of musicians.
Yep.
I think it might be partly from our long winters.
Yeah.
What else are you going to do? But so that was my early. Mm-hmm. And then in the later 70s, I was in a band called Oasis.
Yep.
Not the Oasis that was really famous, but the local Oasis. And that was started by Charlie Subzac and Dennis Cosgrove, who were from a very popular band in that era called Easy Steam. And we were Oasis. Mm-hmm. We did mostly originals and a few covers. We actually did some reggae, which we just had your reggae show. did some reggae.
Yep.
And that was our cover stuff, was like reggae and Latin kind of stuff. And we were the house band for a whole summer at Grandma's Tent, which was a brand new thing back then.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
and then we
that's
had Williams
right, yeah.
Pub, which isn't there anymore. We used to be the... So we got around. We did the college circuit and all that.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah, you mentioned Bill and Kate Iles, they're still playing music around. Jim Hall, you see
a lot of people.
Going off of that, you both, what do you think of the music scene now? I mean, we have a lot more clubs open downtown Superior Street, which is our kind of our main drag, First Street and everything. Homegrown Music and Arts Festival is going on. We'll be coming up this year, 20th anniversary of Homegrown Music and Arts Festival. A lot of Bayfront Blues Festival, a lot of music festivals, and a lot of places for young musicians to get their start, whether it's an open mic or a band or some exposure. You know, how do you feel about all of that now? You know, like when you all started playing to now and everything, what is your take on that?
I'm just excited to see that it's continued. Yeah. Really excited.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's evolved, continued. Mm-hmm. We had a little bit of a dark moment with disco, but it was just a moment. So, but and actually I had friends who were working musicians during that era.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But I used to have a bumper sticker that said "Go disco tonight and put 10 musicians out of work." But
oh, come on, disco.
That was my protest. And I like disco, but you know, yeah, whatever. Yeah. Anyway, Duluth has always had a healthy music scene, mm-hmm, like I said, and mm-hmm, so it's exciting to see. And I really want to mention the Music Resource Center,
yes,
and the Armory Project. I think I put that in my little bio.
Yeah,
for you,
yeah, that you're, yeah,
that I really am a great supporter, mm-hmm, of them, mm-hmm, and Beaners and anybody that gives people that first chance.
Yeah,
and of course the festivals and everything are, mm-hmm, wonderful. And the other thing is, I've just let go of it, but I was on the board for the Bluebird Foundation, which supports young musicians and performers.
Yeah,
and so that was the last 5 years I was involved with that. And coming, mm-hmm, up with scholarships and grants, because there isn't as much financial support in our schools, mm-hmm, and stuff. So, mm-hmm, I'm all about that. And even though I'm not, mm-hmm, on the board anymore, I'm a big supporter.
Bluebird Foundation and Minnesota
Music Resource Center
is two really big, places where young people can get their start in music.
Absolutely.
And they have after school programs for, yep, young musicians, and I believe Music Resource Center, the young people or the kids will go to the Sacred Heart and,
right,
and record music, and yep, and then Bluebird Foundation helps, you know, support young musicians in doing,
correct,
that. Yeah, Layla, I see that you know, you're I mean, with Notable you're still working. You also submitted music for Tracy Lundzien's Christmas by the Lake project for the past 3 years. That's a huge album. Just those kind of things going on. Could you speak to that?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's always been an honor. I've done some original, one original piece with Tracy, and then, mm-hmm, a couple of covers. Mm-hmm. But, that all benefits the Bluebird Foundation. Mm-hmm. So a great cause. It's just been a pleasure.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. So going off of that, what, I was interviewing Loreen Couture and Ione in here a couple months ago, they were talking about how you could make a living playing pretty much every night in the 70s and 80s and everything. And do you both still see that happening, or has that, you know, changed a lot or, you know, and everything? So
I think it's more challenging.
Oh, I do too.
Yeah,
I agree.
Sometimes I think people don't realize how much it takes for that musician to get to the point where they're on the stage playing for you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, that if you cancel, that's a huge deal.
Yeah.
Just everything,
yeah,
costs a lot more. Right. And people think, oh, you're just doing this for fun. I love the homegrown, don't get me wrong, but until recently, I don't think they were paying people.
I think they are giving a bit of
a stipend now, but it costs a lot of money for performers to get on stage.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I think it's a great, like, homegrown's a great opportunity, but at, mm-hmm, the same time, I'm like all about seeing people being able to,
yeah,
at least supplement some kind of living. Nowadays, people really have to have that day job,
mm-hmm,
and that does interfere.
I like homegrown bands. I mean, the exposure during that week is so,
right,
huge, though. I mean,
right,
and that's a really good thing about homegrown.
Yep.
Layla, I'm sorry.
Okay. I always tell people I don't get paid to sing. I get paid to set up and tear down, because there's, so much that is, mm-hmm, behind the scenes that people just don't, mm-hmm, know how many hours go into just that, and then rehearsing. And, you know, mm-hmm, the caveat, the wonderful thing is when you can get up and perform.
Yeah.
You know, that is, I don't get paid for that. I do that for free.
Yeah. There is what you're saying. There's a lot of work into being a musician, and it is, mm-hmm, it's rehearsing. It's getting your band together. It's, you know, writing, rehearsing,
yes,
singing, you know, and
personalities in there sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
The clash.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We've all been there.
Absolutely. Yeah. a question I also like to ask, too, is history, road stories, what can you tell? What can you not, what, you know, what can you tell?
I think Rose probably has a lot more than I do.
Well, maybe, I don't know. I don't. What era do you want to hear about? Do you want to hear about here, or do you want to hear about other places?
Tell us about L.A. Tell us about.
Well,
LA.
You know, yeah. I was here. I left here in my twenties, and I went early twenties, and I went to Minneapolis for a couple years. I was in the only cover band I was ever in, and I wasn't very good in it, I have to admit. Anyway, then I went to L.A. and I met when I first was there, I met lots of artists that were not necessarily musicians, lots of writers and actors, and some of them went on to do some really great stuff. But then I eventually started auditioning for bands, and at any given time in LA at that time, this was the early 80s, there would be like 1,000 bands forming or breaking up on any given day.
Yeah.
So it was a sea of talent, but I got pretty lucky. I think I got about as far as you could get without really making it. And that was kind of the story of my life. Like I mentioned this to you earlier. The most money I ever made was as a backup singer.
Okay. Yeah.
I could always do the high notes, and I have a really good harmonic ear. So, I just could do that stuff. So I met a lot of people by being a backup singer.
Yeah.
One of my favorite bands was Maurice and the Clichés, which you can find online on YouTube and otherwise, and there's a website. And I was a backup singer for Maurice and the Clichés, and got produced by people like Nancy Wilson from Heart, produced one of our demos.
Yeah.
Because they Maurice and the Clichés came from Vancouver via Seattle.
Okay,
via,
sure. And the Hart sisters, or excuse me, the Wilson sisters were Seattle based. Hart came from Seattle, yeah.
Right. And so there were people that I met through them, like Nancy Wilson, and then other people in the business end of it, which I ended up getting into eventually, like Kelly Curtis, who went on to manage Soundgarden
Pearl Jam.
Bands. Yes.
Yeah. Pearl Jam. Yep. Yeah.
And Ken Deans, who he does Coachella, which is popular now.
Yeah.
So many of the people I knew back then that we were like all kind of up and coming have gone on to continue to do such great things. And
absolutely.
So I don't know. I could go on and on about that. You know, band in particular, but that was my favorite band I was ever in.
Okay.
And I was a backup singer, so I was telling you, I'm a backup singer, and I love doing it.
Yeah.
And I'll sing with anybody.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
If they'll let me. Yeah. And I still do that.
We're going to play a track by Layla here in a moment, but one thing I arose too that I saw from your bio was No Amp Night, which eventually morphed into MTV Unplugged. You started the whole idea for that. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I got lonesome for acoustic because that's my roots.
Yeah.
And so, it was in the era of the big hair heavy metal bands. Mm-hmm. And even like more recent cliches, like new wave and all this stuff. And I miss the simplicity of acoustic music and singing that. Mm-hmm. So I started a show at the Central, which is now the Viper Room. I think it's still called that. But the Central was what it was called at that time. And for a couple of years, I had a show every month where people would show up and sign up. And they could be famous or not. And I would recruit like some of these metal bands like Guns N' Roses, who I knew, to come and play acoustically. But also there were just all these other cool people that are still playing.
Yeah. Yep.
And so and Ricky Rockman, who was kind of this cool guy, would come with and hang out with some of those people. And anyway, he kind of took my idea and turned it into something big.
I'm like
the girl that almost made it that I didn't quite. But I did get a VJ interview at one point with Miles Copeland and Stuart Copeland from the Police.
Yeah.
And everything went really great. At that point, I was like 27, I think.
Okay.
And everything went great until I said that I was 27. They asked me how old I was, and they freaked out. They thought I was like 20. I'm like, well, you might get a wrinkle or something. And so they hired Martha Brown. Do you know downtown Martha Brown?
Yeah, yeah.
So she got the gig, and I didn't. So was the kind of the story of my life.
Oh, but you weren't hired to be a VJ because of your
age. They thought I was too old at 27.
No. Wow.
And if you know me, you look at my face, it's not a wrinkle on it. Okay. Yeah. I'm just saying.
Couple We're going to play a track here by Layla, but I see you booked John Trudell and Jesse Ed Davis.
Yes. Yeah, and John was a very good friend of mine, and yeah. Jesse was alive then. And, I loved those guys very much.
John did a concert here with Quiltman in 2007 and 2000 at St. Scholastica. He came and did his spoken word. It was a tremendous show and everything. And so you also knew Victoria Williams.
Yes.
I just missed seeing her in concert in Joshua Tree in 2014, and she lives in Joshua Tree. And it's met some people down there, some really good people, Teddy Quinn, some other people down there that are musicians living in Joshua Tree, and they do Beatnik Lounge where Victoria stops in and
I loved her.
And performs and everything, and she resides there too.
Well, so, they all did No Amp Night, and what the rules of No Amp Night were: no matter whether you were famous or not, you got 15 minutes not to exceed two songs. Because if I didn't say that, sometimes people would keep going and going. And once in a while, I'd make an exception if people were going nuts over someone. But all these awesome people. Yeah. And I miss John Trudell.
Oh, yeah.
And Jesse Ed. To lose them. But anyway,
Jesse Ed, one of John Lennon's favorite guitarists, too, as well as John's.
And he was the most modest, kind person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, let's play a track. We're going to listen to some music by Layla. We'll come back and round out our interview and be back in a moment. And we're talking with Rose and Layla in the studio during the Women's Music Program. All right, and that was a song by Layla Octagon, and that she wrote, and so we were listening to that. We are coming back to the second little part of our interview with Rose and Layla, and welcome back, ladies.
Thank you.
Having fun on the Women's Music Program. So my understanding is that there was a concert last year, a concert for Mick, and it was for a concert for Mick Jackson, who was a longtime musician in Duluth. And wondering if you can talk about that. That was at Clyde Iron, and what that was like. I know it was like a day-long event, and it was all these bands, and if you could speak to that.
It was phenomenal. I mean, everybody came together as a community, I mean, to honor the life of a Northland legend, really. He was a wonderful person and so talented, and it just was astounding to see how many people came together and the different groups, the different styles of music, and so much, I'm sure, money was raised at that event. So
yeah.
It was very emotional because I think originally he was supposed to be there, and he didn't live long enough to be at it.
Okay.
And so it was a very emotional time for a lot of people. And those of us of a certain age, you know, some of us are getting up there. But there's so many people out there still playing, right?
Yeah.
So everybody pulled together and put on this beautiful concert where every band that got up there, you just wanted to like get on your feet. But it was very emotional and beautiful coming together of people. And Jeff Jarvinen, who's here filming us today, was a big part of that.
Yeah.
And Tracy Lundeen. Putting that together for Mick and his family.
Yeah.
And so everybody, love was in the air. Let me just say that. It was really a fantastic concert.
How long had it been since you had seen all of these people?
Oh, it was like the ultimate band reunion from Duluth.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Absolutely. Probably the biggest thing. I've been back here about 15 years, so I think the biggest reunion I've seen like that. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, it was neat.
I've seen the video, and it is really, really amazing. And I was watching the video being edited and stuff at our studios at Public Access Television. It was just, I'm like, my gosh, look at all these people. I mean, if you encapsulate all of Duluth musicians in one room for one afternoon and evening, it was amazing.
Yes.
It was amazing.
Yep,
definitely.
Yeah.
And really, that's just the tip of the iceberg, because there's a lot of people that didn't perform that are still out there performing, or young people coming up, too. So it was just cool.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Well, what are you both involved with at the moment? I know, Layla, you said Notable, but I mean, what are you involved with at the moment musically?
Well, Notable is a big project because we are just getting going. We do have some gigs booked, but I'm just starting to really market and get the name out there and just to let folks know that we are available. Mm-hmm. And we do everything. I mean, we do heart. you know, on a guitar. He's just like jumping off of his seat, just wailing on the guitar. Yeah. And I'm, you know, so it's fun. I like to do things that are unexpected, you know, and that's pretty unexpected, I think, with one guitar and, you know, two voices.
Yes.
So, you know, really working on launching Notable. I'm always working on writing. Always writing, you know, and that's just such a wonderful outlet. Mm-hmm. And actually, I'm looking at trying to get onto the worship team, the musical worship team at church. So I want to give God the glory for this beautiful gift He's given me.
Okay.
In His house.
Yes.
So always working on different projects. Cool. I will sing until I am in my grave. I'm maybe even from the grave. I don't know. That might be a little eerie, though, you know.
You are very dedicated, you know, what kind of writing do you do? What do you write about? What do you
Life experiences, you know, so many. And a lot of them have to do with relationships, whether it be good or bad. And I do like to write, you know, the song that we just heard was for somebody that was special in my life, but it is God-based. And again, I give God the glory for my gift. And
Rose, what are you currently involved with?
You know, I was really thinking about that because I work full-time during the day. I'm not retired or anything, so I don't have the time that I'd love to put into some more creative kinds of things. But I do still sing, but I sit in with people.
Okay.
And they put up with me, and I have this list. I'm going to say their names.
Absolutely. Go for
it. Yeah. I'm going to make a plug for these women because these are people that I've known for some of them a long time, maybe not so long, and I'll get up and sing with them, and they let me do that, and I have fun. But I could also see down the road, I'd love to do something like a master class. For singers or something that had maybe some kind of a mixture of theater and music because that's my background. I love recording. I'd love to do some kind of recording at some point and maybe step out of the background a little bit.
People
have encouraged me to do that. And I've always seemed to want to put other people in front of me. I'm not a very competitive person that way. I'm like, you go first. It's okay.
Yeah,
But, and that's probably why I ended up being the backup singer.
Oh,
it's okay.
Okay.
But anyway, Mary Lou Williams, Jane Aus, who is Janie and the Spokes, if you ever see them around.
Yeah.
Gina Lee, who's the one-woman band. Maxie Child Trio, everybody knows from the Blackwater and doing the jazz thing.
Oh, yeah,
and
yep.
Kim Hansen, Curtis Munson, and the Fishheads, Gold Fishheads. Sue Spencer from Willow Green and has a new group called Iera.
Okay,
who are playing next Saturday. I'll make a plug for this, for the Duluth Scottish Heritage Association's Burns Night Dinner at the Gitch, which is open to the public.
Yeah, I've heard
and
about
that. And they're playing
at
that. And it's really fun. And, of course, Bill and Kate Isles, my old pals. Arlene Anderson is somebody who's around. Arne Rennen, who's does this beautiful Norwegian music.
Okay. Yes. Yeah.
You should have her on here sometime.
Absolutely.
Jane Ellickson and Mad About Jane and my old friend Marvin Pomeroy. Since I was 15. And of course Lorraine Couture with Legacy and her husband Bill.
Yeah.
Mary Haig Halston from the Blue Water Big Band. And I don't know who I forgot. But those are some of the people that have invited me to sit in with them at different times. So I like to just show up and sit in the back and sing whether they want me to or not, and then eventually invite me up to do a song with them. So that's kind of what I'm doing, but I'd like to do something a little more formal in the next year or two.
Wonderful. Layla, Rose, it was a pleasure having you in the studio today. Your stories are amazing and wonderful, and your involvement with the music scene in Duluth and Los Angeles is... And so I just, a big shout out from the Women's Music Program. Thank you for all you do as women musicians.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure.
Yes.